Welcome to Living by the Word with Pastor John Coleman. I'm Mark Ramsey. The focus of this program is to discuss the issues that affect the life of every human being. While using the Bible as our guide and foundation, we hope that you'll be stimulated by the topics of conversation and willing to apply them to your life. These discussions might make you change your entire way of thinking and living. Now here's your host for Living by the Word, Pastor John Coleman.
Thank you, Mark, and thank you, listening audience, for joining us for the next 2 hours here live on KKLA 99.5 FM, KKLA 1240 AM out in the Inland Empire. Thank you for joining us, Living by the Word. In a world of professing Christians, the true believer must classify themselves as those who are justified in righteousness by that position in Jesus Christ. This divine absolutism must be affirmed by the standard of the Word of God only. Living by the Word ministry speaks to those particular absolutes. We, as other true Christian ministries, must look at God's Word as the highest standard which directs our lives as a particular Christian ministry. We cannot attempt to minister to others unless we define who we are by what we believe. Thus, we affirm ourselves as a body of believers as we live by the Word. Matthew 4:4 says, "But Jesus answered and said, It is written, man shall not live on bread alone." And for those of you that's living in the 20th century, that means greenbacks, dollar bills, bucks, money. No, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Let's get right into some of the dialogue right now, and let's hear some announcements so that we can keep abreast as what's happening.
Well, first of all, Pastor John, coming up Saturday, August 16th at 9 a.m. In Los Angeles, we will have a Basics of the Faith class starting, a brand new Basics of the Faith. So if you can come out to that area, it's down in South L.A. right off the 105 freeway in Vermont. If you're interested, call us at the ministry at area code 213-292-4415. I think we have Brother Ralph standing by right now.
That's correct.
Taking all the calls. That's a brand new Basics of the Faith class starting Saturday, August 16th at 9 a.m. Also, coming up, we're going to be in Compton at the Faith Inspirational Missionary Baptist Church, pastored by Rayford Owens. He's invited us to come out and preach on the last Sunday of August. That's August 31st. The church is located at 1226 West Compton Boulevard in the city of Compton. And coming up in September, can't forget about this, Calvary Chapel of Simi Valley has a men's retreat. Pastor John will be speaking there along with others. And if you guys have never been to a men's retreat before, then believe me, this is one you want to make your first. These guys here at Simi Valley are pretty good guys. We had breakfast with them a couple of months ago.
Right.
So please, if you're interested in a men's retreat, call Calvary Chapel of Simi Valley at area code 805-527-0199. You can speak with Pastor Dave Gusick or any of his staff there. I'm pretty sure they'll be able to help you sign up for this thing. I don't know when the last date is for registration for the retreat, but I understand you have spoken with them this week, so everything still is on.
Yeah, they called me and they said, Pastor John, we're really excited about you coming out, teaching and speaking, being the guest speaker there, and we're looking forward. I also asked them if we can have maybe a couple of other guys join, so you're going to have to call Calvary Chapel in Simi Valley to find out whether their facilities would accommodate you in that area. I'm looking forward to going out there. We're going to have a grand time. I'd like to say hello to all the guys out of CCI out there and some of the other guys. As a matter of fact, during our letter presentation time, we got a few letters from you guys, and I personally would love to hear from a lot of the brothers that's out at CCI.
Yeah, it's interesting. I got a letter returned to me from Tehachapi. I wrote Elder Brown out there, so I don't know if he's still there or not, but if you are, or if anyone who's listening tonight in Tehachapi, if he's still there, someone write me and let me know if he's still there, or,
right,
or if Elder Brown, if you're listening, if you could please write me, because I did have my letter returned and I had some valuable information for you, brother.
It's great. Listen, I'd just like to say this before we get into the reading of the letters. Your faithfulness has been noted, listening audience. The Lord is saying that he does desire us to remain on the air. This has been a time of prayer and patience, not only for me, but for all of us involved in Living by the Word ministries. You, the responding audience, are the ones through whom the Lord is speaking. It is just that small handful of believers that have made it possible for us to be sustained. We are grateful to the many that have responded to the challenge to give. We shall remain, and if your faithfulness continues, we shall continue to do this very great work of ministry. Thank you for your faithfulness. I am overwhelmed by your heartfelt gifts to this ministry that the Lord has sustained us. May it be proven in heaven later on in life or after your life that the benefits have really brought forth fruit for the ministry. We look to our Lord to provide his fulfillment in the life to come. Keep in mind, all of this is just our temporary abode. Thank you for sending those donations in.
Yeah, I was really pleased when I came in the office this week and saw all the mail with all the checks and all the money orders that we received. It just shows me that God is working, and it is his will for us to stay here despite what many of our critics think.
And we've been receiving some correspondence from many critics, but we will not stop. A good brother called, you know your name, JJ, I'll just say that. He called me this evening and encouraged us to continue, and I want to thank our newly found brother from the Santa Ana area that sent us that donation. We thank you, brother. Your initials are JJ also. We want to thank you for that kind contribution to our ministry and the fine words of encouragement to continue on. As a matter of fact, we have Brother Elsie Hebert in the booth with us tonight, and Elsie's going to start off reading a few letters.
Sure, and just like Mike said, that we have a lot of new listeners that are writing, and we're very pleased with that. And I just want to say all the listeners out there, if you don't have the address, please write us at Living by the Word, P.O. Box 43967, and that's in the city of L.A., and the zip code is 90043.
And I want to remind you right now, since I am recording this on March the 7th, 2022, for you to listen to, not to call the numbers or to write at the addresses. This is an archive radio presentation, and I'm placing it up because I think that after some 27-odd years, we should be able to answer these questions as we take a very vivid, close look at what was one of the richest spiritual institutions in our country until we've allowed bandits to take over. Bandits, literal crooks. And I want you to understand that in this introduction that I'm giving of this presentation, none of this was written down. The only thing that was written down was the opening statement about living in a world of confusion and whatnot. That was my usual route when I started a radio program. But please don't call the numbers and don't try to get in touch because you won't. That ministry was hijacked by a bunch of crooks, and I don't even know whether they're still existing. But if you ever thought about doing talk radio on a spiritual level, I think that this would be a good prima facie for you to start with. Let's go back. Remember, don't call the numbers.
We have a couple letters, and I'll start off by reading Elaine's. And Elaine writes, "Dear Pastor John and staff, I hope this contribution will help to keep your program going. It truly is needed. I will do this as often as I can." And she says that you're doing well. You're doing a well and good work with candor and honesty.
Thank you, Elaine. We really appreciate that donation, and I appreciate our dialogue a couple of days ago. God bless you.
And Brother Jerome out of Santa Ana, and he writes, "Dear brother in the Lord, Pastor John Coleman, I am glad we got a chance to talk. And we will get a chance soon again, he writes, "keep up the good work of the faith. May the Lord's Spirit lead you and guide you in all the way. Be encouraged if God called you, and I believe he did, to do the work. He will provide with more than an abundance. I love you with the love of Christ. Sincerely, Brother Jerome."
Yeah, you know, and that was a great letter because Jerome is, he's not from the Baptist denomination. He's from the Church of God in Christ. We have some good brothers out there that's listening to the Word of God and that can discern spiritual truth and truth from error. And we really appreciate that.
So he didn't take our whole dialogue on the issue of tongues as attacking his denomination.
No, not at all.
He took it as Christians just debating an issue.
And Christians debating an issue. There are fine Christians in most of these denominations in our city here. What we do on Living by the Word is we're getting you to think, to use your minds. As a matter of fact, when we get into the issue tonight, you'll know exactly what we mean. Mm-hmm. All right.
Mike, you have some letters for us also?
Yeah, I have a letter here from Brother Robert, who writes us often from Van Nuys. Thank you for the donation. He simply says, now the voice has a face.
Ah, yeah, he got the newsletter. Hey, listen, that's not one of my better pictures, but that's all right. Thank you, Brother Robert. We really appreciate that donation that you sent us also.
Also, I got a letter here. I'm not going to read it, but from Brother Juan out in the Metropolitan Detention Center.
That's fantastic. Before you start reading that, man, that's in downtown L.A., right?
Is that where that is?
Yeah,
I'm not familiar with where it is.
I believe it is.
I think so.
Yeah, that's the one downtown, and so that brother's very close, and I like that because if he wants, man, I'll try to go downtown to visit him one day. That would be great.
Yeah, we would love to come down there, but let's clarify it first. I'm not going to read the letter,
sure.
But he made it attention Pastor Mike Coleman.
Mike, you're a pastor now.
Yeah,
not
pastor
only am
Mike.
I a pastor, but I've been engrafted into this man's family.
Okay.
Hey, Juan, I'm Brother Mike Coger, and that's Pastor John Coleman.
But that's all right,
yeah,
Juan.
Yeah.
Because you know what it is, my dear brother? Whenever you hear the word of God coming across powerfully, it doesn't make any difference what names
not
God gave us.
That's
praise
right.
God.
And we do thank you for your letter, and we will write you back, as a matter of fact. And
most
we'll
definitely.
Try to get down there.
Sure.
If we can get in there, we like to come inside and preach. We don't just want to come see you.
Right.
We want to come see everybody.
Right.
So if you can get us in there, talk to the chaplain or whoever runs that thing.
Melis
is love.
Name.
Yeah, we would love to come in and see you. I got an interesting letter here, Pastor John.
Oh, yeah.
From a girl out in Pico Rivera.
Yes.
It's going to take me a second, so bear with me here, but it's very interesting that I read this.
All right.
This is, Dear Pastor John Coleman, Mark, Mike, and others, I'm so excited that brothers in Christ, such as all of you, are making such a bold statement for our Lord Jesus Christ. It makes me extremely happy to listen to your lively chatter each Sunday evening at 10 o'clock. When I first heard the show, it was just Pastor John speaking solo. But now you have Mark and Mike along with you. It is really an enjoyable experience. Not only do I laugh, I learn a little something. The people that call you sometimes make me laugh. The three of you guys are awesome because not only are you being responsible and humble servants of God, but you are doing this ministry with a sense of humor. You can tell that you and your staff have fun doing and desire to do the Lord's work. I wanted to support this radio ministry, but you see, I'm only 16 years old, and unfortunately, I haven't obtained a steady income. I do intend to ask my mom to help you guys out just enough to cover those expensive bills. I wanted to join one of your classes on theology, but school is going to start pretty soon and I want my focus to be where it should be. She goes on and says, finally, it's a 5-page letter, Pastor.
Oh, yes, it is.
And I'm going to skip through because she gives her testimony on page 2, and it's very interesting.
And I just want to say that was one of the finest testimonies from a 16-year-old.
Right.
Very articulately done and intelligently done, and she knew where she was and what was going on in that particular church environment where she was.
Right. She goes on and she says, finally, I can comment on this series that you have been doing on tongues for around 8 consecutive Sunday evenings. What a mouthful. I think you guys are taking a positive and biblical approach on this, and though some people are out there thinking that you should just be quiet, I say that's a big fat whatever to them.
I like that.
They are obviously doing something wrong in their walk with God. Something is definitely wrong when two believers have different outlooks on the same biblical subject.
Absolutely.
I think that speaking in tongues is scary and opens your mind to all sorts of things. Tongues to me is a language, and I do not think of it as any other thing. Some people try to say that God understands them and that is all that matters. Wrong. When you are around others, you are accountable for what you do. You said that, Pastor John,
right.
And I agree 100%. I will call you guys every Sunday evening, but I'm too young.
Yeah.
I have a lot to say whenever you guys come on. And that is what I like about your show. You spark my biblical interest.
That's great.
All of you guys, not just Pastor John, Mike, Mark, and the rest of the staff and helpers that are behind the scenes. Thank you for putting up with all the bad stuff and sticking with this ministry through thick and thin. Pastor John, I want to commend you on your constant sense of humor and happiness when callers get a little rowdy, even when the guests get rowdy, too. Mark, I just want to say I love your voice.
Oh, my gosh.
There he is.
Silver tongue over there.
I like the comment you made about people not calling in because they are unsure.
Yeah.
How could I forget about Mike? I equally enjoy your comments also. I enjoy the fact that when someone calls, you wait and listen, then you say something. You've got patience, brother. A sure sign or fruit of the Spirit. Keep those classes going. I will continually pray for you guys and for your financial troubles. Just remember, if it is God's will for you guys to stay on, then he will see to it. And that's from Sister Joanna Brown in Pico Rivera.
I got to say, she goes to First Fundamental Bible Church, Pastor Alex Montoya, one of the finest churches in the east side of town. And that's why. You see, those kinds of Christians are produced in fundamental Bible churches and churches that won't put up with biblical nonsense.
See, when we have a teenager writing us a letter and agreeing with the authoritative word of God, you know, that encourages, and I can speak for the entire staff. I mean, I'm sure they'll agree with me, huh, guys? Or we have someone that will do this, and we have all these critics out there that refuse to go to bed. Just go to bed if you don't agree, and it's not with us.
Can't go to bed because, you see, God wants them to hear this and so that there can be some resolution in their heart.
I tell you what, if they hear this and they don't respond to it, then they're going to have to answer to that on that great day.
They're going to have to answer to God. I mean, it's just as, you know, fundamental as that. As a matter of fact, what we're going to do is, let me give you a little bit of background of what we're going to talk about tonight. Here's the discussion, and that number to call is 1-888-LA-TALKS, or that's 1-888-528-2557.
The
discussion tonight is, can a born-again believer lose his or her salvation? Or to put it another way, can a person be saved and then be lost? Is there an answer in the Bible? Here again is the question. Can you lose your salvation after Jesus Christ comes in, saves you, and gives you eternal life? Can that eternal life be lost? As usual, we would love for you to call in with the scripture to back up whatever you believe. There will be a message, and I want you to listen to this message. It was preached, I think, in 1992 out of the Grace Brethren Church out in Simi Valley. And since I ask you to use scripture, what we want you to do is to listen to this introduction after we have a break. And then we're going to listen to this introduction of this message taken from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. And then in about 15 minutes, we'll get ready for your calls. Please, please, can a born-again believer lose his or her salvation? Now let's have this short message about our ministry, and we want to thank you. Listen, you can call us at the ministry office right now. What's that number, Mike?
The number to call is area code 213-292-4415.
Brother Ralph is ready to talk to you, and let's say that they wanted to call us on AOL.com.
You can reach us right now. I think Ralph is being simultaneous in this thing. We're at livebyword@AOL.com. That's livebyword@AOL.com.
Thanks, guys. After this announcement, you'll hear the sermon, and then we'll be back. Can a Christian lose his or her salvation?
We've already started the first of a 10-week study in Basics of the Faith on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. If you're interested in attending another 10-week session of Basics of the Faith on Monday evenings, call Living by the Word at 213-292-4415 for details. The class is conducted on a scholarly level. Your time will not be wasted on the trivial. Your time will be well spent by listening and learning the basics of our Christian faith. Call Living by the Word today for information. The class holds 6 to 8 students, so call now before the seats are all gone. That's 213-292-4415, or fax us at 213-292-4429, and of course, email livebyword@aol.com for Basics of the Faith from Living by the Word. If you have any questions or comments about Living by the Word Ministries, or you want more information about the various classes that are offered, feel free to call our office at 213-292-4415, Monday through Friday between 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Maybe you're one of the many who can't stay up for the entire two-hour program. Well, don't fret. Cassette copies of the program are available for just $10. Just write down the date and topic of the program you want. Send your request to Living by the Word, P.O. Box 43967, Los Angeles, California, 90043. That's Living by the Word, P.O. Box 43967, Los Angeles, California, 90043. Use these cassettes as a tool for learning God's Word. Educate your friends who've been misled by heretical teaching. Let it be your way to support this Bible-based ministry. Remember, if you do anything, keep living by the Word.
First Thessalonians chapter 2. Our focus tonight will be upon verse 13. Paul, communicating to the church at Thessalonica, gives a broad background, but in the middle of this chapter, in verse 13, Paul gives us a glimpse of where the church ought to be today in terms of the principles of believing faith. And this is what Paul says. And for this reason, we also constantly thank God that when you received from us the word of God's message, you accepted it not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe. You might say, Pastor John, what kind of words are these? Words for our hearts. You might say, Pastor John, I've read over this and I know what you're going to say. Right, you just go right to sleep. This message won't apply to you then. Since you know what I'm going to talk about and you know the end before I get started, you can just go to sleep in church. I know that there's always buzz heads in the room. Go to sleep. You know what I'm going to say already. You've exegeted the text inside, upside, downside. You know what I'm going to say. But for those of you that don't know what I'm going to say, I'm going to challenge you to maybe look at this verse for the first time for about the next 59. What? 59 minutes on one verse? Sure. As a matter of fact, we need to spend more time in the Word of God than in anything else in our churches. Willow Street, I love the choir. Yeah, that music is great. Olivet, love that. Boy, that's great. But my friends, if you put the priority on that instead of the Word, that's not going to hold you together in tough times. God's Word is the source that holds the church together. I'd like to read something from St. Augustine. He wrote about faith. He said, if you believe what you like in the gospel and reject what you like, it is not the gospel that you believe, but yourself. Now, Augustine was right. Because if you accept that you want to accept and reject that you don't want to take, that's not God's word. You're supposed to take all of God's word and applicationally apply it to your life absolutely every day of your life, and so that God might cause some spiritual growth in your life. I believe today that the church is stoic, blind, stupid, really don't know what to do because they have not taken and applied the word in their lives. And Paul, in this one verse, is giving us a clue, a hint to what the church ought to do today. Another had placed it like this, this term of belief. He says, to believe is to commit. In particular, belief, I commit myself spiritually to Jesus Christ and determine in that thing to be dominated by the Lord alone. When I stand face to face with Jesus Christ and he says to me, believest thou this? I find that faith is as natural as breathing, and I am staggered that I was so stupid as not to trust him before. So you see, my friends, I want to share something with you. When Paul writes to the church at Thessalonica, he's giving more than just empty words that we say so loosely, so plainly. Paul is trying to get us to get in touch with
the essence of what will make your faith work. Faith does not work in the church today because we intellectually believe, but we do not applicationally believe the words of God. I believe this, that the church would become the pillar and ground of truth, strengthened in everything if we accept what God has said about his standard and allow that standard to direct our very lives. So Paul describes in chapter 2 the manner of his ministry, and he reveals in these very fine verses the past behavior, and then he carries the reader on up into verse 13, into the heart of the passionate preacher as he shares his kind affection. The theme of this text is taken from verse 13. And in verse 13, we're going to find provided for us some important principles of faith for those of us that believe. So I'd like to entitle this, The Principles of Believing Faith. And we find these principles all found in verse 13. And for this reason, we also constantly thank God that when you receive from us the word of God's message, let me stop right there. Point number one is that the true believer receives nothing less than the word of God's message. The true believer receives the words of God's message, not traditional words, not the words of merely a man, not the words of a religious leader, but the words of God's message. The church has become impotent today because they've been receiving the words of men instead of the words of God. I want you to accept that and apply that to your hearts. The world would stop laughing at us if we believed what we read. The world would take note of the church if we begin to demonstrate the very word that God has left here for us. We are too busy wondering about what color we are instead of getting involved in the power of the manifested word in our lives. We are too busy worrying about the outcome of a trial instead of the outcome of the effect of God's word in the life of the church, so that we might be living witnesses in front of a world that is dying spiritually all around us. We are more concerned about our denominational practices instead of us all coming into a one conclusive sense of abiding in the Word of God and allowing that Word of God to abide in us to make us the kind of individuals that God wants us to be. Now, I want you to note the response of God's preacher. He says, first of all, in this verse, we thank God. The man says, I thank God, church, that you've received the word of God's message. How many pastors do you know that are thankful today? How many pastors do you know that are discouraged because the people won't do? I'm never concerned about the people doing. I'm concerned about being involved in what the word says do. God will hold this pastor personally responsible for his life, and I am to demonstrate to the body exactly what God demands out of the body. Pastors, don't become discouraged when the people won't do. They may be looking at you not doing. Paul says, I thank God. Paul is tremendously pleased that the believers, or that the believing body, had taken the message which he had preached. The first thing that he understood was that the Holy Spirit has caused these believers to be receptive to the teachings of the word. You are receptive to God's preached word only when the Holy Spirit of God is doing something in your life to make you that way. You see, I can't make anyone receptive to the word. All I do as a shepherd is give them the word, and then the body, if they are called by the word, blessed by the word, born again by the precious word, they grow by the word. And you see, that's a problem in the church today. What we do is you put the heavier burden on Pastor John, and you ought to put the heavier burden on you to do what the word says to do. And you see, our faithfulness is derived only as we correspondingly respond to what the preached word is saying. Secondly, I understand in the first part of this verse that Paul is convinced that they had not allowed the word to be hindered by opposition in any way. Paul says, I thank God that you've received the word of God's message. They did not allow situations to come in and press aside or to move aside to a smaller position the word of God's message. How many times have we allowed things to interfere with what God wants to do in our lives instead of walking in the strength of the Word of God, allowing God to do something in our lives beyond ourselves. And you see, my friends, that's the key. Too many times we do not allow the Holy Spirit to move. And Paul says, I thank God that you allowed the words of his message to permeate your hearts and to control the way you control your environment. How many of us are in, listen, we're involved and we're controlled by the world that we live in. We are supposed to, Jesus put it this way. He said, occupy until I come. Many believers are not occupying because they are not putting forth a heartfelt faith in the Word of God. God can do nothing in the church because the church has lost a sense of what it is supposed to do. Paul would also says that the joy that he was experiencing was a natural reaction of a loving pastor who had given out the blessed word and witnessed the reception of that word. You see, as a pastor, when I teach constantly all during the week, when I teach on Sunday mornings, when I lecture on Sunday nights, I'm putting out all of the Word of God. I gain my joy from a flock, from a congregation that responds to the Word with life practices. Not just showing up in a Bible study, not just showing up because I expect to see a few heads, but I want to see some life practices through the Word. And too often what we do is we substitute doing what the Word tells us to do, and we show up and we say, well, Pastor John, I showed up, and so God is well pleased with me. My friends, it's beyond you showing up. It's you doing the Word in you. And that's how the unregenerate world is going to find out what a true picture of Christianity is, when we start demonstrating with our lives what God has told us to do. And Paul was glad about that.
And you've heard it. That is the word. Thank you for listening in. That was taken just a portion of that sermon demonstrating what the Word of God can affect in your lives. Before we get into our subject matter tonight, and the reason that I played that is because the Word of God is what influences your answer tonight when you call in and share with us, can an individual lose their salvation? If you would like a copy of that tape can be yours, and you can call Brother Ralph. He's at the ministry office right now. And just say, Brother Ralph, how do I obtain that entire sermon? And we'll try to send it your way. I'd just like to give a little bit of a commentary before we go into our second break here. And this commentary is called Mixing In Our Blessed Be the Tie That Binds. It is a known fact that the church today is to be different or set apart from this sinful world. Now, the danger of these kinds of statements that I just made is found in the word difference, in that many think today that when a person speaks of this difference, that there are hidden prejudices attached. Well, there is. Jesus says in the scriptures that we are in the world, but not of the world. In John chapter 15, verses 18 through 20, it reads like this. Jesus says, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, I've chose you out of the world. Therefore, the world hates you. Remember the word that I said unto you, a slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my words, they will keep yours also. Many of us would read that.
All right, well, the tape is turning over, so we're just going to give it a minute to turn over, and then we will continue with this radio presentation. Remember, don't call the numbers.
Remember the word that I said unto you, a slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my words, they will keep yours also. Many of us would read that text, and then we would secretly whisper in our hearts that it must have been for another time. Well, if I profess to be a Christian, the verse that I just quoted are kept within their context for me. I am in this world, but I do not have any part of its entanglement, its heartfelt concept or ways. I do not love what it loves. I am only visiting this silly place. I live in hope of heaven in another place. Even though I sound strange, that is the way it is. Can the same be said of you, my friend?
let's deal with some issues. Something happens that you didn't foresee. When you find yourself in dire straits, when there's problems in your church, with your building, with your finances, who do you run to? Ghostbusters or the master? When in financial difficulties, what is your recourse? Taking from anybody or taking the matter to the body of Christ? Who would you ask to allow to assist you when things turned a little sour for the church? Would you receive from those that oppose all that you stand for in this life? Answer the question. You all know what I'm talking about. Don't act deaf, dumb, and blind out there. You know. These are some cold, hard facts. What would Jesus say? Would you hold your hand out, or would you question the one that seems to offer you something for some intentions other than God's? Is it important to get or to check out the ramifications of getting that your action produces? In other words, would the Lord be pleased with your association with these worldly associations, especially the ones that are so adamantly opposed to biblical things? And don't be fooled when people try to help the church to try to change their name when their name is mud before God. Would God be pleased in the way that you have chosen to conduct your business affairs, church? Please keep in mind the character of God is not like that of fallen men and women. In John chapter 2, verses 15 and 16, and I'm going to break it down so that you can understand it. Starts off in verse 15. I'm going to give you some Pastor John exegesis. Love not the world. In other words, don't get happy when ungodliness offers you a handout. Then it says, neither the things that are in the world. My exegesis, those things that the ungodly crave to have, which does not bring honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. Then Jesus says, if any man loves the world, if you don't understand that, it means one that refuses to be related to the Creator by faith rather than this person that is forsaking primary objectives for worldly attainment. This is what Jesus says. The love of the Father is not in him. This is plain to define. Jesus says that God has nothing to do with them. My particular question is, what are you having something to do with them for? Church? Then he goes on and says, for all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh. That means one has to read Genesis chapter 3 in order to see what Adam and Eve went through with that fruit dilemma. See, we want things for the purpose of our flesh fulfillment. And friends, it also says the lust of the eyes. In other words, if it makes us happy by the way it looks to us, let it be done in the name of Jesus. No, that's a lie. Listen, it says, and the pride of life. In other words, look at what we have. Look at how big our church is. Look at what we've done. This is mine. Then Jesus says, it is not of the Father, but it is of the world. In other words, God didn't have anything to do with it in the first place. Verse 17 says, the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abides forever. In other words, nothing matters but that which God has said, else everything else is plain vanity. Does it matter what we think of the world when we have a need? You bet it matters, church. The Bible has spoken again. I would like to venture that not too many people are interested these days. You're listening to Living by the Word. This is Pastor John Coleman. Why don't you call us 1-888-LA-TALKS. And you know what I'm talking about, church. That's the problem. We're playing it off again, aren't we? Call us right now and try to answer the question. Can a Christian lose his salvation after he's saved? We'll be back after these words.
you have been listening to the Living by the Word program, you know that one of our goals is to boldly proclaim the name of Jesus as Lord and Savior, and to teach the Christian community to do what it says in Matthew 4:4. It is written, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." If you have received a life lesson from the teaching and dialogue of the Living by the Word program, we encourage you to send a donation to keep this program on the air. If your life has been blessed and you see the change in your behavior because of the spiritual food that's given every Sunday night, we hope you will support our efforts with prayer and financial giving. Send your donations to Living by the Word, P.O. Box 43967, Los Angeles, California, 90043. Without your consistent financial support, we will not remain on the air. No matter what the amount, we need your support. Send your donations to Living by the Word, P.O. Box 43967, Los Angeles, California, 90043. Call our office at 213-292-4415.
How about...
Welcome back to Living by the Word. Knowledge of God is very important. Oh, before I get into that, let's say that you radio folks listening in, we would like something from you. There's this big frame in the Living by the Word's office that we're going to put up on the wall. And what we would like to receive from those of you that send us contributions and letters, if you can find a snapshot of yourself, your family, Easy even says you with your dog or your cat or whatnot, we'd love for you to send in a snapshot of that so that we can put you on our wall of contributors. And so that when we pray in the Living by the Word office, and when people come and visit us, they can see the Living by the Word family. So if you have a real nice color snapshot that you would like to send in, please send it in to us.
Not that we're going to pray over your picture or anything like that.
Yeah.
We just like to put a face with a name, kind of right. Like when those people received our newsletter, it was kind of comforting to see who the man is who's sitting there with that raspy voice speaking.
Right.
And you know what? Before we go on, I do have to say hello to the four lovely ladies that I spent the day with visiting from Texas, from Dallas, Texas.
All right.
As a matter of fact, we went sightseeing and stuff.
Yeah,
like
I heard
that.
You took them around and showed them Beverly Hills, Hollywood, Westwood.
Rodeo Drive. Yeah.
You know, I just drive by Rodeo. I never exit my car. I don't have any money to shop there.
We went to Hollywood, and they're really tearing that thing up, man.
Oh,
they got water falling out of the ground, and one of the ladies said, "Is this it?"
That's
went,
it.
Yeah, this is it. Now let's go.
Welcome to Hollywood.
Knowledge of God is very important. The only thorough knowledge of God that the individual can have is through the Bible when it talks about eternal life. And... that's what James Montgomery Boyce says. He speaks in John chapter 17, verse 3, "And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, in Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent." Boyce also goes on in his fine text, Foundations of the Christian Faith, and he says, "Lacking eternal life, one cannot begin to understand what one is missing." Then he goes on and says that he is like a person who says that he does not appreciate good music. His dislike does not make the music worthless. It simply indicates an inadequate grounds of appreciation in him. Boyce goes on and he talks about that issue, and he does it very, very well. What I was thinking, guys, is that if we're going to ask the question tonight whether a person can lose his salvation or not, that it would be a little ridiculous to talk about the issue and even to receive the phone calls if we do not handle it from the vantage point of the perseverance of the saints. And basically, let me give you what I mean by that. Maybe for some of you that are listening and you are not reformed in your view of thinking, the doctrine of the perseverance of the saints means that God, who has begun a good work in electing us and then calling us to individual salvation according to his own good purpose, will certainly keep on in that purpose until that person elected and called is brought home to the blessedness that has been prepared for him or her. And then one author goes on and says that if a person could be saved and then lost, there would be no blessedness in salvation. There would only be anxiety. There would be no safety or happiness. It is God's nature to finish what he starts. There can be perfect joy for the one who trusts in him. So, now, what we're going to do is we're going to ask the question tonight, is there any argument that can be proposed? Well, no, I think that there's no more arguments that can be proposed to object to this idea that we are saved forever. There are biblical truths taught by Jesus, confirmed by the Apostle Paul, and Peter and all the others in the Old and New Testament write about that. But we're going to first begin with what perseverance is not, and then we'll take your phone calls. So, Tony, I want you to hold on line one. Tony on line two, hold on. And we're waiting on line three to buzz up. Mike, come on.
Okay, with perseverance of the saints, are we saying that all Christians are free from all spiritual dangers?
Oh, no, we're not saying that at all. Because God has called you to persevere, it doesn't mean, Mike, that you're free from all spiritual dangers, because we can leave here tonight and, get in danger of our harm's way in our physical bodies. Nor does it mean, Mark, that Christians will not fall into sin just because they're saved. In other words, perseverance of the saint does not mean that you don't sin anymore, that you don't miss the mark. Because you do.
So you're giving me the idea or the actual statement. We are going to miss, but there is something. There is God that holds up
right.
our Christianity.
There's something that holds us firmly together, brothers. You know, and I would also say that it does not mean that those who profess Christ without being born again are secure. You know, there's a lot of people sitting out there that aren't saved, but they've joined a church. And they've listened to the preacher, and the preacher has promised them salvation. That doesn't mean that you're going to heaven because the preacher promised you that. You know, it can't mean that at all.
Does that sounds like the person is taking more value in just the words out of someone's mouth versus checking in the Bible.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So they've heard some friend of theirs say, come to my church.
Right.
It's a good time, there's good singing, and there's a message. But come on by my church.
But you know what? In a lot of these churches that you go by and visit, in one switch of the tongue, the preacher is telling them that if you do this, you could go to hell. Now, I find a tremendous difficulty with that. Here you're saved, and then, because they have a lot of pastors sitting out there listening to me tonight, that tell their people that none of us can be sure. Why don't we go to the first call, and let's say hello to Tony. Tony, how you doing? Thank you for calling.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing great, brother.
I heard your question and about can you lose your salvation?
Yeah.
I believe you can't. And I have a scripture right here, John 3:16.
Read it.
It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." So that says that whosoever believeth in him shall have everlasting life. But I know, after you read that and pray the prayer, there comes actions of your faith, and you gotta do what the the Bible says.
So you're saying that Jesus isn't lying to us in John 3:16?
Exactly.
Yeah, he's not lying, and so since Jesus can't lie, and he says that if you believe in him, you have eternal life. How long is eternal life, Tony?
Forever.
How long is forever?
Everlasting.
And so, Tony, what you're saying now is that eternal life is everlasting and is forever. So you're taking Jesus' words on this situation.
Yes.
Good. Mike?
I had a question, Tony.
Yeah.
What's the prayer, just from our curiosity?
The prayer is to repent, to know that we are all sinners, and we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Okay.
But if you believe in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and ask him for your forgiveness, you will be saved by grace.
Okay. Amen.
Good.
Thank you, Tony. Good call, brother.
All right. Thank you.
God bless you.
All right. You too.
All right. Now, listen, if there's anybody out there that disagrees with Tony, you can call us at 1-888-LA-TALKS. Has your pastor told you that you can lose this stuff?
I have a question, Pastor.
Go ahead.
The quote-unquote sinner's prayer.
Yes.
Does one have to say those exact words that you read in every Bible tract in order to be saved? Or can it be a matter of, Lord, I know I've sinned, help me?
I didn't do it. I never did it. I never do things like that. Nobody tells me what to say to God.
So for those people out there who have not prayed the quote-unquote sinner's prayer,
right,
they're still saved.
I'm going to tell you something, man, that they got a lot of folk out there where God has dealt with them. Since God calls you on a one-on-one individual basis, any prayer you're saying, man, unless God calls you, your speech is in vain. Mm. Let me give you exactly what I mean, gentlemen. You can know that you're all debauched in that filthy, no-good heart of yours and go to some church, and you can get up there with 20 people and repeat after the preacher gives you that. You're not saved. You're not saved unless you've responded to the call of God in your life in private. I had private salvation. Christ came to me, called me, purged me, began the good work in me. I just went and told the preacher, something happened, and now I know he touched me, and I'll never be the same again.
It's interesting because I was at a church a couple of weeks ago,
right,
and they had a call to those who wanted to give Jesus their life or whatnot, and they had them repeat the sinner's prayer, and it was weird because they had the whole congregation stand up and repeat the same prayer right along with it, and it didn't make any sense to me because they were praying, Lord, thank you for accepting me, and then everybody would repeat that, and then they were saying, Lord, thank you for forgiving me of my sins, I am now saved, I am now redeemed, and I'm saying, everybody's repeating this thing, so what were those people doing? What was that all about, that the whole blooming congregation was saying this quote-unquote sinner's prayer?
It's called community salvation. In other words, you know, we're all in this thing together. Mark?
Okay, my question, for validation.
Okay.
When a person comes to that moment when they give their life to Christ, in that private moment, God immediately takes that person right to the Bible or right to some biblical person, that's the only word I can use, to validate what they just did so that it just doesn't come out of the sky like butterflies.
Absolutely. Now we're talking, Mark, the discipling process. When a person is called by God and regenerated by his precious, beautiful Holy Spirit, the thing that that person needs is to be discipled.
So the part I'm getting to is God doesn't leave anybody hanging when he calls them.
Right.
There's no dangling. They're still not lost. There's some person that's going to bring them into the fold.
They are taken to the scriptures, and salvation and the Christian life is explained to them. Hi, Tony. Glad you made it back in from Texas, down under. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing good, bro. How are you?
That's great. Doing real good.
All right, Pastor.
Talk to us.
Number one, I was going to ask this. When you're born again, how many times can you be born again?
Right.
Are you born over and over? And how many times can you be saved?
You see, and that's what the implication is, Brother Tony, in some of our churches, that every time you sin, that you lose it, and you're born again, again, and again, and again. I think it's like one brother said, he walked down the aisle 5 times before he came to the realization that Christ's one-time act did it.
Check this out, Tony. Let's all of us turn to the scripture,
okay.
John 6.
Alrighty.
Verses 37 through 40.
And interesting term.
Let me read this, and then we can get into the dialogue.
Alrighty.
All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will certainly not cast out.
Yeah.
For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of him who sent me, that of all that he has given me, I lose nothing, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him will have eternal life, and I myself will raise him up on the last day. He said this twice.
Amen.
What was the purpose of that?
Right.
That's right.
Right. He loses nothing. Mm-hmm. All that God gives him, he retains and keeps.
And see, another thing that I guess these skeptics have to realize is that... you know, like Paul said, that we are not warring against flesh and blood. So it's telling you right there, Jesus said that you're either for me or you're against me. So if you're a child of God, then you're on Jesus' side. And if you're not, then you're on Satan's side. So it's no such thing as you jumping out of Jesus' hand or Satan snatching you out of Jesus' hand.
Right.
But anyway, my scriptures that I was going to go to, and I have a couple of them, but... the first one, which I told the brother that answered the phone, was John 5:24.
Yes.
And it said, most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life.
That's it.
And shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life.
And Tony, that's forever, isn't it?
That's forever.
That's for the remaining part of your Christian experience. There's nothing that you can do that can remove you from that status.
That's right. And then you might have a knucklehead to say, well, if you sin, then you go right there to 1 Corinthians 5:5 that tells you if he sins, then you hand him over to Satan so that his soul will be saved at that day.
That's right. It says, I've decided to deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
That's a very interesting text of Scripture, because what Paul is saying right here, if a Christian sins like that, and listen, let's go all the way with this, because some might say, nah, come on, Pastor John. Doesn't the belief of the perseverance of the saints cause someone to become rather licentious, get into license
Lasciviousness.
Lasciviousness, thank you. License to sin. In other words, they will not reason that if they are eternally secure, that they can never be lost, because they say, well, if that's a fact, then I can do whatever I want to do. I can sin. I'm going to be saved anyhow, so it doesn't matter.
But a person who is saved does not carry on in that fashion anyway. Why would a true believer carry himself to that extent of saying, it doesn't matter, I can do this, I can do that, I'm saved anyway?
Because they're going to churches, and Tony, yeah, we do want you to enter into this, but Michael, let me answer this, because they're going to churches where the pastor allows that. You see, come on now, man. The pastor's taking the whole church to Las Vegas to gamble for the weekend. Okay, the pastor is leading the whole church into things. And so what else do you expect out of people that live like that? Tony, you were going to say something.
I was going to say this, is that let's just say a person does have the gall to say, okay, now I'm saved, I can go back and do what I want to do. The fact is, Paul covered that through the Lord. He says that God will not be mocked. So
absolutely,
if you go and you think that you can get away with something, the next thing you know, you find yourself in trouble, and you're like, you know, you're going to have to answer. You're going to have to answer to the Lord for it. So there's no such thing as, okay, I'm going to get away with this, I have a license to steal, because that's not happening.
Yeah.
Now, you know what, Pastor? I find it interesting that you say that there are some pastors out there that are actually telling their people that they can lose their salvation. I want to know from someone who's been in that church. Tell me, call us up right now at 1-888-528-2557.
You think they're going to call, Mark?
I want to know.
I think they will call, because they want to prove that they can have a double life.
Ah.
They can have...
Hey, Tony, thanks for the call.
All right. God bless
you, brother.
They can have that life that pertains to things of earth, like going to Las Vegas and doing what I want to do. And they can also say, I'm going to enjoy no judgment when I get to heaven.
Check this out, fellas.
All right, I'm checking it.
We know God.
Yeah.
And if God says that he is eternal and he gives us eternal life...
Right.
With God, eternal means forever.
That's right.
So how can... I mean... Scripture upon scripture, and we've just been involved in two tonight that says eternal.
Because
I will lose nothing.
Because none of us can be sure. Because that's what they're saying. None of us can be sure. Let's go to line.
Looks like line one. Say hello to Doug.
Well, Doug must have hung up. All right, so we aren't going to go there. I wonder why. But Doug disagreed. Let's go to line three. Thanks, Rob, for holding on. Calling from Monterey Park. You're on, Rob.
I'm on now. Okay, good.
Yes.
Anyway, I got the verse, 1 John 5:13.
Okay, why don't you read it for us?
It says, these things have I written to you that believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the one... I don't know exactly how it's quoted, but it has something to do with knowing that you have eternal life.
Absolutely, that's exactly it. And so, therefore, the Word of God, the Scripture says that we can know that we have eternal life.
Yeah, anyway, I was at work on Friday, and somebody was asking me about this. This has been the second time they've asked me, and she goes, well, nobody can know for sure. You guys were just talking about that on the radio.
That's a good point. And
when I first became a Christian, this was a long time ago, my first question was, how can I know that I have eternal life? And the person pointed me to this verse, and they go, these things are written. You may know you have eternal life. You don't have to hope so. You don't have to think so. And there's a whole lot of other verses. There's one in Philippians that says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you perform it.
Philippians 1 and 6.
Christ?
Yes.
And another one in Romans at the end of chapter 8.
Right, Romans 8, 28 through 39.
Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?
Absolutely.
And then he goes on and lists a whole bunch of different things. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword?
Man, I love this. Listen.
And then he goes on in verse 37. He says, no, in all these things we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creation shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Well, that's great, brother. Listen, we're coming up to the 11 o'clock hour, so we've got to take a break here. Listen, thank you for your call, brother.
Okay, thanks,
Mike. Great call. God bless. Listen, we want to talk with you. 1 hour is down, and we've
got to
get, listen, if you disagree, call us.
That time went by so quick for the first hour. Thank you for tuning in. I'll try to put this one up so that we can have something for the March 8th date, and then on March the 9th, we'll go to part two and listen to what the other callers then said. Did you notice or pick up something that was going on? We use scripture. And no opinion of ours meant anything. Now today, that's all you hear from today's pulpits is somebody's silly opinions about how they think it is. Thank you for coming to my site.